Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now better to serve you together and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics. There was a Fiesta Bowl on Thursday night. There is a Big Ten game on Friday night, and Ohio State isn't involved in either one of them. But that doesn't mean that we can't make some bold predictions on a Freaky Friday on The Beat, which is presented by the Waterworks. So here we are. The college football playoff rolls on. The transfer portal rolls on. And we've talked about all of that stuff plenty, Berm. But what we have not talked about, which is another looming deadline, is the NFL draft. And there is some possibility that Ohio State's not going to be decimated by those decisions next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you expect, I guess. There are a lot of players that ended the season disappointed. A lot of guys that have some difficult decisions to make. Some that maybe I think people will look at and be like, hey, that guy should return. But then you look at it and say, hey, you get an opportunity to go play in the NFL, you're going to take it. I don't think we're entering the same world we used to where it's like you can just guarantee who's going to do what. I mean, there are certainly guys out there, the Caleb Downs, Carnell Tates, who have already made their announcements that are top 10 picks no matter what. You know they're going to go. They have no choice. We saw that 3 years ago with Marvin Harrison, a guy that we felt pretty strongly did not want to leave Ohio State, but knowing that he was going to be a top 5 pick in the draft, he was left no option. It's easier nowadays to come up with options to stay for even borderline late first round picks. But if you're a top 10 guy, you still have to leave. And the Buckeyes have their share of those, but they also have their share of guys in the middle. And that's what makes this interesting.
I saw odds on Thursday, Berm, that Garvell Reese had, I think, the fourth lowest or fourth best, however you want to view those odds of being the number one overall pick, which is pretty wild. But that was also something that you kind of boldly predicted might happen throughout last offseason, that he could be maybe not the number one overall pick, but the first Ohio State player taken. And it certainly feels like he's going to be in that conversation. He has not, as of Thursday afternoon, spoiler alert, announced his decision to move on, but we certainly expected that would be the case. But he could be the first Buckeye off the board, which kudos to Arvell Reese for that. And kudos to James Laurinaitis and Matt Patricia and Jim Knowles before that, Larry Johnson for some of the pass rush opportunities. Arvell capitalized on that. So I don't know that we have to make a bold prediction on that because I think we all know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I mean, the bold prediction was made by me last year when I said he'd be the
first. I wasn't sure if I made that clear enough.
No, I mean, it's just a guy that has incredible traits. And it was obvious when you saw him on the practice field. To the people who got to see him every day, it was obvious to us when we got to see him for just 5 practices in the spring. His traits are off the charts. I think the interesting thing about Arvell, and again, I mean, he's going to be on the list that we show here as far as guys that haven't made a decision. But the difference, I think, fundamentally between Arvell, Caleb Downs, Carnell Tate, and even Caden McDonald, who's on this list, is that when it comes to walking in the NFL draft process part of this, the getting to know teams, Arvell is not going to be revered and looked at in the same way as Caleb and Carnell and Caden McDonald, just because he's not interested in all of the pomp and circumstance around this stuff. He just wants to play football. It's not a knock on him to say that the interview portion of his process is probably going to have less rave reviews because he's just not interested in this stuff. He wants to get drafted. He wants to play football. He doesn't really care where it ends up happening, but that's how these things get sorted out. So I think those conversations about him being a potential number one overall pick, I think will change because the quarterbacks obviously will do that whenever Dante Moore makes his decision and Fernando Mendoza goes officially into the draft. But being the number one overall.
Are his interviews, Fernando Mendoza's interviews, going to blow people away?
No, but like his will be weird in a cute way, you know? They'll be like,
Do you want cute or do you want like, because if you're going to have, let's just say, uncomfortable interviews, I would rather, if I was drafting, if I was an NFL general manager, like this interview is weird because that guy that I'm talking to wants to murder me and wants to get on the football field as quickly as possible. And on his planet, this is not the way that they communicate. They communicate solely through brutal physicality and fisticuffs. Whatever community raised Fernando Mendoza, I'd be just like, can I get out of here? I don't understand how this person got here, why he is in the college football playoff semifinal, and why teams are talking about using a number one pick on him. Because if he goes to like New York, can you imagine that media communicating with Fernando Mendoza? He would be eaten alive.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously the Raiders have the number one overall pick. So whoever gets picked in that spot has to go to Las Vegas, which is a place that can certainly cause trouble for a normal human. Fernando Mendoza is not normal. Arvell Reese isn't normal. So I guess you have those kind of discussions. We will see how it goes. We're not NFL executives, obviously, but you have to kind of pick your poison when it comes to what kind of weird you want in your franchise. I'd rather have a guy that just doesn't talk and shows up and works. But you also have to deal with sometimes just your quarterbacks are weird guys. Like, that's the way it goes. But either way, Arvell Reese is not going to return to Ohio State. So, you know, if we have somebody that playing along at home who wants to cross him off this list, he's number seven of the players listed here, or six of the seven players listed, but he's not coming back. So let's not even spend a lot more time talking about Arvell.
Okay, I scratched him off there and did that easily. So are you suggesting then that you wanted to go in order with these bold predictions? Is that how you wrote them?
I really just enjoy when football is in order. So if there was a quarterback, he'd be first on the list, and then running back, then wide receiver. But we're skipping right down to Max Clair at tight end, because that's the first real decision, or the next real decision on the offense that needs to be made for Ohio State.
All right. So can I split my prediction in two? Like, I think that Max Clair should return to Ohio State, and I think that he would make more money playing for the Buckeyes. And I think that maybe there's at least a shred of possibility that he will come to that conclusion by the time the NFL draft deadline rolls around. But it doesn't feel like he wants to come back to Ohio State. He's not going to go into the transfer portal, or at least I don't expect that he will. That's not been the conversation that either one of us have had with people around Ohio State. We also did not really get to know Max Clair all that well. We only had, I think, two or three interview opportunities with him during his time. So, like, in terms of his mindset, I am wildly speculating from the outside, but informing that prediction, at least from my perspective, is he's going to be a third or fourth round pick at best. And if Ohio State offered him a similar contractual arrangement that he had a year ago when he left Purdue, that seems like pretty good guaranteed money. So I think he should come back, but I am not currently of the mindset that he will, which I think, you know, everyone's decision is their own. So I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad. It's just not the one that I would make.
Yeah, and Ohio State's certainly not acting or preparing for him to return at this point. I mean, the decisions that have been made in the tight end room, Jelani Thurman, obviously his transfer announced after the Miami game. The Buckeyes will lose Will Kaczmarek and probably lose Max Clair. But what's most interesting is that there's been no movement when it comes to other players on the team, like Max LeBlanc, who, you know, I think if we would have been pulling names 6 months ago and said, who's a guy who's not likely to be on the roster next year? I think Max LeBlanc is one of them. But here we are, and most of the indications to this point have said that Max and Bennett Christian will both be back on the roster next year. So with the addition of Mason Williams from Ohio, the tight end transfer that the Buckeyes received a commitment from on Sunday, you probably still need another tight end. And so you're still working the Max Clair angle here, but the reports are that they are expecting him to leave. So Keenan Bailey will have some work cut out for him to figure out how exactly this room looks for him next year, because you kind of can piece the pieces together of, you replace Max Clair at the top of the list with Nate Roberts, probably. You replace Will Kaczmarek with Mason Williams, who's a very like-for-like replacement. You keep Bennett Christian at three, so you're not doing a whole lot of maneuvering, but then you really have to see what you can get out of younger guys like Brody Lennon, and maybe find out if something can surprise you with Nick Lauder, the incoming freshman in the class of 2026. But from a dollar amount spent on the position standpoint, Ohio State is willing to spend it to keep Max Clair, but he's going to have to make that decision for himself. It's not a super deep tight end class for the NFL draft, and I think that opens up some of those windows. But you're right, this is a third or fourth round pick, and those are the types of players that we've long anticipated would end up coming back to school more often in the NIL era, but it is what it is. And just a soapbox point, it does suck in this era. Like, one of the worst things about the transfer era is that we don't really get to know a lot of these kids. And so it is harder to gauge where they really are emotionally, logically, what they're thinking, because most of the interview sessions we have from them now are so cut down and truncated that there's no real ability to get to know who they are.
Yeah. The era of college football has certainly changed. The seasons change too, but comfort does not. Call the Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for maintenance, installation, and repairs, or visit online at thewaterworks.com. The Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, and proud of the work that those Buckeyes did ascending into the starting lineup or staying there in Carson Hensman's viewpoint. I almost feel like these decisions are not going to be made in tandem, but I feel like they're likely to be the same. So if you can separate them if you want, but I feel like at this point that Austin Sereveld and Carson Hensman, I would boldly predict, will both return for Ohio State. And that gives me what I think would be a potential offensive line. If I'm going to go even further, if I may, I would like to see Ian Moore at left tackle, Luke Montgomery at left guard, Carson Hensman at center, Philip Daniels at right guard, and Austin Sereveld at right tackle. That is a fivesome that would be pretty good, with Josh Padilla then giving you a swing sixth guy that can play guard or center. That's what I think would be an ideal outcome. Carson Hensman obviously is probably where this hinges.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I also think a lot of it does hinge on whether or not Carson Hensman, as you said, is whether or not he goes. But is Austin Sereveld content? Is he wanting to move positions? Because I think for the Ohio State's long-term future, to make sure that you retain a guy like Ian Moore, I think you're right. Ian Moore probably needs to be the starting left tackle at Ohio State a year from now. Does that mean that Austin Sereveld should be competing and moving inside because that's where he's likely going to play in the NFL? Does that mean that you move him to the right side because he's now had a year at tackle and you can feel pretty comfortable with him at right tackle? And because Philip Daniels maybe needs to be moved inside because of his long-term prospects? I don't know. We would have never guessed the way the alignment of the offensive line happened this past season. So I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves trying to piece that together. But I think you're right. Both of these guys will return. I think that will also be the case for Luke Montgomery and Philip Daniels and Ian Moore. Obviously, we saw Justin Terry, a depth piece from the offensive line, leave via the transfer portal earlier this week after 1 year in Columbus. Javon McFadden, a true freshman from Washington, D.C., left. So you have plenty of depth. I know there's fans who still want Ohio State to go out and add depth in the transfer portal. I don't think that's going to happen on the offensive line. If you can go out and find a sheer, clear upgrade at one of these spots, fine. But there's no reason to upset the apple cart too much for a group that played fairly well when they were healthy. And I think there is a significant talent upgrade, upside upgrade, if you let Ian Moore become your starting left tackle next year, a much more prototypical tackle than Austin Sereveld. So if we're calling our shot, which I guess is the whole nature of this episode of Bold Prediction / Freaky Friday, the beat, they're both going to come back. And I think the entire offensive line will return.
Okay.
So minus Tiger Shimola.
That's three bold predictions on offense, and we have three remaining on defense. I'm not going to go in order. I think we just know that Jermaine Matthews is coming back, don't we? Like, it seems obvious.
It seems obvious, but it also, as we've felt all week long covering the team, like there's parts that are moving. The number that Ohio State has to allocate to Jermaine Matthews is going to be pretty high. I think that there's a fair conversation that can be had about whether or not his value is stagnating a little bit. I don't know, whether or not he's willing to move inside because the Buckeyes are still looking for other parts in the transfer portal at corner. And I think that eventually, long-term, there's a real argument to be made. And you've certainly made this point on the LettermanRowe.com message board multiple times that you'd like to see Jermaine Matthews in the slot. That's what we thought would happen with Jermaine Matthews, Aaron Scott, and Devin Sanchez. But with Aaron in the portal, that's not going to happen. So I think Jermaine is a guy that you want to build around. Ryan Day talked at length about Davis and Igbinosun leading up to the playoff game against Miami and that culture that Davison and Jermaine have instilled in the corners room. They want to keep that. So I think, he's going to stick around. But I do hope that there's some conversation with Jermaine about exactly what that means as a leader, because you're going to be one of the highest paid guys on this entire roster. And you are going to be remembered for your 2025 season for the last two games that you did not play very well. And I think that will, I hope, let me restate that. I hope it propels him into 2026 in a similar way that Davis and Igbinosun was propelled into 2025 when a lot of questions were being asked about him and his return last February.
Yeah, it's not a secret to anybody that watches the Austin and Berm show that I love watching Jermaine Mathews play football, and I love talking to him before and after games even more than that. I know how highly he thinks, how much self-confidence he has. Let me put it that way. I was going to say how highly he thinks of himself. So how much self-confidence and self-belief he has, which is inspiring, I would say, to watch and be around. He has said repeatedly in conversation, both into live microphones and not live microphones, that he will do whatever is necessary for Ohio State. And I think that given the level of compensation that he's received and his level of investment in turn back into Ohio State, I don't feel like it should be that difficult of a conversation. That's easy for me to say on the outside. It's easy for me to take that at face value with Jermaine. I tend to believe him. It's a little bit of a reverse Sean Wade situation where Sean wanted to prove himself as an outside corner, and it didn't go well, and it wound up costing him a lot of money, where if he had just stayed at nickel and been maybe the best nickel in the corner, yeah, the overall ceiling for money that you can make at the NFL level is probably lower for guys who are true nickels compared to lockdown outside corners. But and maybe, and I can't speak for that, maybe the NFL only views Jermaine in one way, or maybe they already view him as a nickel. I truly don't know. As you made the point earlier, we are not general managers or NFL scouts, and I haven't got any feedback from any of them about what they would like to do with Jermaine Mathews if he was in this draft class. But I think when you're looking at it, and it was, you know, more a product of comparing Devin Sanchez and the drop off there at corner than when they were piecing those things together due to injury in the middle of the season at nickel, that glimpse, those couple games of Jermaine, especially Illinois at slot, it's like that's kind of where that needs to go for me. And I didn't know that they needed to like completely throw out the personnel rotation and the plan that they had last year to do that in the middle of this year. Also because Lorenzo was still playing at a very high level. But if you ask him and you pay him and you tell him that this is the role, I don't see why that is as a negative for Jermaine Mathews, because Sean Wade didn't have the ability at that time to say, you know what, I'd like a seven-figure paycheck to do that for a year, in which case he might have stayed at nickel. That's hindsight, and that's 2020. But if I'm looking forward, I'm still going to boldly predict that Jermaine plays nickel, because I think that's where he should be for the betterment of the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, some of that's going to just depend entirely on what other options become available to Ohio State over this next week in the transfer portal. Because, you know, when you look back, and again, hindsight was 2020, and the year was 2020 for Sean Wade. You know, things have changed a lot in the last 5 years, 6 years since Sean had to make that decision. So Ohio State is going to be able to have that upfront conversation with Jermaine. You would like it to happen after January 16th.
Yeah.
Right. Because you just don't want any more surprises because the new year is crazy. And that's the way it's working. I also have had a crazy start to the new year, Austin. I don't know if
you have indeed.
I started Awaken 180 about 3 weeks before the new year began, and I'm down almost 25 pounds in a month, which is pretty crazy for me because I'm not like the world's most disciplined eater. I'm in the car a lot. I'm constantly on the road. I'm eating garbage. I miss Coke Zero, but that's okay. Either way, I'm dealing with it because I have a plan. Awaken 180 has given me structure, coaching, actual support, not just a fleeting motivation that faded in the first week. So if weight loss is your goal, not yours, because I know you've already done this amazing program, but if you out there listening and you want to get started, don't give up. Start now. You could probably lose 20 pounds by the end of January if you just dive in and get started right now. Go to awaken180weightloss.com and shed the weight like Austin did and like I am. I feel great. It feels great. It would also feel great if Ohio State could get Kenyatta Jackson back in the lineup for the 2026 season. And speaking to people around the program this week, it seems like there's been some back and forth there, a little vacillation between the early week conversation and more midweek conversation. I think Ohio State is leaning toward the positive side of that outcome right now, which I think you just have to count on, because Kenyatta Jackson had a really spectacular second half to his 2025 season. He's really developed into a leader. He's a likely block O wearer next year, and he's going to be paid like he has earned it. And I think that that's really good news for Ohio State. Hopefully they can get that done soon. We did see Brandon Ennis announce his official return on Thursday afternoon. So some of these conversations are getting finalized, but let's see if that happens with Kenyatta in the near future. I think it will.
I agree. And I felt like the only thing that could have changed that was a breakout college football playoff for Kenyatta Jackson. And that did not happen. And that's not meant to pile on. That's not meant to criticize. You know, he needed to make more plays, or one or two more, for Ohio State to help get off the field against Miami and to win the Cotton Bowl. And so he didn't have the platform, I think, that could have propelled him into a late first round, early second round situation. So I don't know that it doesn't seem to me, I've not seen the draft feedback card. Doesn't sound like what he heard back in December was overwhelmingly decision-makingly strong for him to make the move. So his most lucrative opportunity next year is almost certainly going to be at Ohio State, at least compared to the NFL draft. There's another road that I won't go down that, you know, could change that. But we have seen this year after year after year with Kenyatta reaffirming his commitment, becoming a better leader, embracing everything that goes on in the Woody. I would be stunned if he chose door number three. Don't think he will. I think he's going to be at Ohio State. I think they get to that finish line before Wednesday, let's say.
Yeah, and I think Ohio State's in a position to really spotlight Kenyatta Jackson, not just on the field next year when it comes to the defensive alignment or the way that you want to try to use him, because I think he's proven he can be deployed as more of a stand-up edge rusher and do some other things that he didn't get to do this year, more in the Arvell Reese role. Now, we'll see if he can do it. I don't know, but I think he has the frame and the athleticism, you'd think, to make that sort of impact, but it's not just on the field. This is a guy, again, who's a potential probable block O, you know, recipient. Like, this is a guy who is going to be the face of your program for the next year. So while I'm sure that the Buckeyes are not interested in making promises about, hey, you're going to get to do this in the defense or you're going to do that, I think that they are flexible enough to understand that the defense is going to change when you lose players like Caleb Downs and Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles and likely Caden McDonald, which we'll get into next. But you can really spotlight Kenyatta Jackson and the growth he's had on and off the field. And I think that that's what we'll see over the next few months. So hopefully, as you said, that gets done in the next couple of days and you don't have to go into the final days of the transfer portal window worried that some desperate school is going to offer him, you know, $3-4 million for 1 year, which is certainly, I guess, nothing is outside of the realm of possibility, but it seems like it would be a natural fit for him to return to Ohio State.
It sure does. And I would love to say the same thing about Caden McDonald, but you have already hinted at the heartbreak that I'm going to feel when he does not return for one more year. He is one of my absolute favorites to be around. Sorry, Jermaine. Caden McDonald is certainly number one there for me. And the story that he's crafted, his rise and Georgia not wanting him because of the uncertainty about his physical skill set or his height and his weight. He was phenomenal last year. Ton of stuff early in the week, was still doing stuff with the Ronald McDonald House in Columbus as he prepares for what is likely going to be a decision to enter the NFL draft, which he's earned that for sure.
100%. And, you know, again, as we go back to the first conversation here, some of the discussion is like, well, you look at him and he's 6'1" and he's 310 pounds. He lost a lot of weight. Changed his body this year. Clearly that was a major impact on his performance and his ability to stay on the field. When you look at just the sheer measurables, NFL teams are going to go, he's kind of short. He doesn't exactly have, like, he's not the longest limbed kid in the world, but then you cut on that tape, buddy.
Yeah. We're just going to quote Jeff Okuda, cut that tape on again, man.
You see a Geno Atkins type defensive tackle, but then you get to meet him. Then you spend time talking to Caden McDonald and he's one of those rare kids that has the ability to flip the switch to be an Arvell Reese type on the field, that I'm just going to destroy you and I'm going to enjoy it type. But then off the field, the big, gregarious personality, a kid that just you love to talk to, a player you can build your franchise around. I've actually heard from a few NFL folks in the last couple of weeks that his stock went from being like an end of the first round to a middle of the first round type of guy because of just the way that he dominated, even the games that the Ohio State lost in the last month where he was just spectacular in the biggest games. there was a lot of back and forth in the last 10 days, 12 days about his potential return, but that conversation has shifted in the last 36 hours. And I would expect that we'll see an NFL draft announcement from him by the end of the weekend, maybe even by the time this airs, who knows, but you know, you just hope that you find kids who pan out like Caden McDonald, who Georgia did not want to recruit because he was too small. Ohio State said, and actually he's really damn good and we're going to bring him in. He worked his butt off in year one, made himself a major contributor in year two and was an All-American and the best defensive tackle in the country in year three. And now he's on his way to the NFL in all likelihood in the next couple of days. So we're going to miss you, Caden. I know your mom's watching, so tell her we'll miss her too. Or we'll just tell her we'll miss her too. So
he, you and I were talking to him. This is, I know he won't care about this. After he got named as the Outland finalist and then the Big Ten defensive lineman of the year. And he said, does that mean that I get a tree? And I was like, no, this one doesn't do that, but you're going to have one. Don't worry. And he's like, okay, cool. That's what I really want. So, he earned it. His place and legacy, I think, is secure without needing another year. He was a part of a national championship team. He got a set of gold pants, and he is on the brink of being a first-round draft pick. So not much more you can ask for out of that recruitment, that development, and that commitment to Ohio State.
Yep. Going to miss you. Enjoy. Good luck. I hope you find your way to Cincinnati somehow, along with Harbell Reese and Caleb Downs.
I don't think that they can all play there, Berm, but if
I am willing to give away the Bengals draft picks for the next 5 years, first round picks for the next 5 years to get Caden, Arvell, and Caleb all in this draft class. That's it. And then be done.
Okay. Well, that would be pretty good. I will boldly predict that will not happen for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think that's actually not that bold of a prediction. I don't know how much any of this was because we were actually trying to provide a little reporting insight and not just wild, reckless speculation about what's going to happen like we do on every other Freaky Friday on the beat presented by the Waterworks. I have a feeling we probably will talk to you again over the weekend, snap judgment style. That's a little bit of a bold prediction. I don't know what it will be or why, but if it is necessary,
something's going to happen.
If it is necessary, we will be back over the weekend in some form or fashion to update you on whatever that is. So stick around, as always, on 97.1 The Fan on the YouTube channel, 10TV on that YouTube channel, 10TV Plus. And if you are just listening along on Apple, Spotify, or Roku, we still appreciate you greatly. And we hope you have a fantastic weekend. And if we don't talk to you on Saturday or Sunday, we'll be right back on Monday on The Beat. For Berm, I am Austin. So long.